In an unprecedented move, the Trump administration made yet another blunder. They've made vague but far-reaching sanctions on the Al-Mustafa University. And this is a very important escalation. But I personally, I'm not letting President Biden or President-elect Biden, if Trump leaves the White House, if he doesn't use the military to stay, I'm not letting him off the hook. We all saw, just in this last part of the tenure of the administration, where there was the very public arrest of Sayyid Muzammil and Sayyid Asim. They did some of their normal techniques. So the normal techniques is to make the case such a case that the brothers seem like boogeymen. The mu'mineen are afraid to touch the case with a 10-foot pole because nobody even wants to get near them with these kind of wild allegations. And that's normal FBI stuff. They did their normal Gestapo techniques as well to those mu'mineen over there in Houston. So they would show up, 20 cars go up to a house. Someone who's never committed a crime in their life. Break down the door with a battering ram. But that wasn't all. Later after that, there came another round of bullying by the FBI. So they came to people's places of work. FBI agents walking in, questioning, demanding. Some people lost their jobs. Other people in the community became very afraid when they're going around asking questions, banging on the doors. You're not even related to this, right? Intimidation. They did it to the sisters too, by the way. There were ways of them trying to intimidate sisters. So sometimes go to the houses, right? Different things that they would do. Why would the FBI single the Shia community out? Some of the goals that they had, one of them was they were testing the waters. For the FBI to study and to see the reaction of the Shia community was also very important for them. So that was one of their goals. What are the mu'mineen going to do? The second goal was definitely to intimidate and terrorize the mu'mineen. Anytime you roll up to somebody's house who doesn't even have a weapon, and you know, and you use a tank, weapons, rifles, this is not just like, well, I need to bring you to court, I've got a warrant for your arrest. This is intimidation. I want to see you shake. I want to see you grovel. The other thing that was definitely part of the plans was a direct attack on the religious liberties of the Muslims. They're trying to make a legal precedent where you and I can't pay homes here in the U.S. It's an attack on the institution of homes. The excuse are the brothers, but it's an attack on the institution of homes. Now, being bullies and thugs, they didn't stop there. Now they went after the Hausa. When we say Jamaat al-Mustafa, the Al-Mustafa University, and that they went over and they sanctioned that, that was a big step. That wasn't a small step, brothers and sisters. Before, when I mentioned the idea of homes and the idea of attacking the institution of homes, that's affecting your practice. What about if I go even further and I want to affect your ability to learn, to grow? I want to be thought police. It's not just sanctioning a university. This is the Hausa. This is where you and I go to learn deen, to improve our spirituality. And this was a school that they selected, which was a very much above board. They have students from 130 countries. 70,000 people have gone through there. They know who this is, a very known entity. Sunnis are there learning according to their own madhab. Non-Muslims come, interfaith. Like Pharaoh, they want to teach you that you can't think without my permission. You know what the words of Pharaoh are? Qala Pharaoh, amantum bihi qabla an adhana lakum. You got iman in Musa before I gave you permission? I control when you think. This is intimidation, fear, ro'ab. Get you scared, get you shaking. That's what they're doing. Now the word is the FBI will be coming to former Al-Mustafa students and questioning them and interrogating them. They have a word in Farsi. They say, Ghalat Kardi, made you God. This was a blunder by the Trump administration, a miscalculation by the FBI. God has promised us on the words of his prophet now, this is hadith, إِنَّ اللَّهِ truly Allah يُؤَيِّدُ هَذَا الدِّينِ He assists this religion بِالرَّجِلِ الْفَاجِرِ with wicked people. God uses your enemies, those who've chosen to fight you, those who've chosen to have an axe to grind. God will use them to advance his deen. They're planning one thing. You'd be surprised at how Allah takes this and makes this something which is in the benefit of the Muslims. Now for us, Imam Mahdi is around the corner. Wait till you see how this works in with the predictions of Ahlul Bayt. What should we do? Because you've got to respond. What should we do with this opportunity? This has to happen before the Imam returns. We have to help our fellow believers dispel the notion that we are second-class citizens. What is the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security? What do they say? They say this: the real threat are white nationalists, right-wing extremists, racially and ethnically motivated violent extremists, specifically white supremacists. Extremists will remain the most persistent and lethal threat in the homeland. So they have the statistics, they know that you and I are, you know, threat, you're not a terrorist, they know this. So they know who's the real threat. In 2019, they said that it was 66% of the terrorist attacks were from these individuals. In 2020, in Trump's last year, the number jumped to 90. So the FBI knows who the real threat are. They're not addressing you or talking to you because they're afraid. No. The FBI also knows very well the role of the U.S. administration in the creation of Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, Daesh, those defenseless Yemenis. The UN says 5 million Yemenis will be one step from famine. So the FBI knows who the real terrorists are. Actually, they don't actually have a problem with real terrorists. Why do they pick on you? They think you're soft. They think you're a chump. They believe that you have accepted that you're a second-class citizen. Why would anybody innocent ever talk to the FBI? If I think I'm a second-class citizen, just put my head down, hopefully they won't get me, keep my mouth shut, keep my nose clean, maybe they'll let me go. Educate yourselves and your communities. This is the time to be stern with these cats. If they come sniffing around your home, you know what the rules are. You never let them in the house without a warrant. You never speak to the FBI without a lawyer. You explain to them, because some are thick, they don't get it the first time you say it, I will not speak to you without a lawyer.
We demand to see Brother Johnson.
What is your name, fellow?
Don't worry about what my name is.
Outside.
I suggest you look outside that window.
Jimmy, come here a second.
Yes, we intend to see Brother Johnson.
Who the hell are they supposed to be?
They're brothers of Brother Johnson.
Make sure the community knows this. You can't back down from Islam. You can't back down from Islam. Once you said, La ilaha illallah, once you say that there is no God but Allah, you cannot ignore the oppressed of the world. You can't back down from Yemen, from Syria, from Palestine, from the oppressed here in America. They can't force you to make your religion the way that that Tawhut in France wants to do. Reinvent Islam. No, Islam saying La ilaha illallah means I have social and political obligations. That's what it means to believe in God. We're not backing down from that. Don't panic. Make your decision based on what your responsibility is. We have a beautiful hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, the bravest of the brave. He says this about the person who has taqwa. Do I have taqwa or not? Let's see. The person of taqwa is like this. وَهُوَ فِي الزَّلَازِلِ وَقُومِ. A person of taqwa is a person who amidst earthquakes, the world is falling apart. وَقُومِ. Peaceful, tranquil, dignified in the midst of it. Our dear Shaheed Qasim Soleimani, that great man, that hero of Islam. What did Qasim Soleimani say? Shaheed, as long as you're not afraid, you don't panic. The mu'min is simply looking for opportunities. What doors is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opening? I know he assists his religion with that rajul who's fajir. How? Where? The mu'min is not panicked. What's the opportunity? What's the responsibility? Not the prophecy and where they fail. The summary that you find from the ahadith, brothers and sisters, is that before the coming of the Imam, there would be an uprising. And it would come from Iran. It would come from Qom. There would be a man from Qom. The people would gather with this individual. They would push and they would push until they dropped the regime. After that, the hadith talk about Qom in particular. That knowledge would spread from Qom through the east and the west until no one is uninformed about the religion. Even women who are in the bridal chambers would know deed. And that this would be very close to the time of the coming of the Imam. We've already heard the prediction of our leader Imam Khamenei when he said that the world, the readiness of the world for the Imam is unprecedented. In the midst of the musibah, if we're looking for that guidance, Allah says in the Quran, مَا مِن مُصِيبَةٍ إِلَّا بِإِذْنِ اللَّهِ. None of these tragedies, afflictions happen except with the permission of Allah. وَمَن يُؤْمِن. Whoever believes in the midst of this crisis, trust God, يُؤْمِن. يَهْدِي قَلْبًا. God will guide the heart of the believer. God will guide.